Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Peak Human: What We Can Learn from History's Greatest Civilizations is a work of comparative history and political economy by Johan Norberg, a Swedish historian of ideas known for writing about openness, globalization, and human progress. The book examines seven unusually creative and prosperous historical settings: ancient Athens, the Roman Republic, Abbasid Baghdad, Song China, Renaissance Italy, the Dutch Republic, and the modern Anglosphere. Norberg uses these cases to ask why certain societies become centers of innovation, wealth, learning, and cultural achievement, and why such periods rarely last indefinitely. Rather than presenting golden ages as accidents or as products of superior national character, the book emphasizes institutions, incentives, exchange, tolerance, and the circulation of people and ideas. Its purpose is not only historical explanation, but contemporary warning. By comparing earlier peaks of human achievement with present political and economic choices, Norberg argues that modern prosperity depends on conditions that can be weakened by closure, conflict, and institutional decay. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, golden ages as fragile systems rather than permanent civilizational destinies. A central contribution of Peak Human is its treatment of golden ages as temporary configurations of favorable conditions, not as proof that any civilization has a built-in path to dominance. Norberg selects cases that produced major advances in politics, science, commerce, art, law, and technology, but he presents each as historically contingent. Ancient Athens developed democratic practices and philosophical inquiry in a particular civic and commercial setting. Abbasid Baghdad became a hub of translation, mathematics, medicine, and scholarship because it connected traditions across regions. The Dutch Republic flourished through trade, finance, publishing, and religious toleration under constraints that differed from older centralized empires. This comparative design shifts attention away from heroic myths and toward the systems that made talent productive. The same societies that reached high levels of achievement later faced war, factionalism, exclusion, or institutional rigidity. The implication is analytical. Rather than nostalgic, the peak is not the endpoint of history. A golden age must be maintained through habits and rules that keep competition, learning, and exchange alive. Secondly, openness to trade, migration, and ideas as a recurring engine of progress, Norberg places openness at the center of his explanation for historical flourishing. In the book, openness is not merely a moral preference for cosmopolitanism. It is a practical mechanism that increases the range of ideas, skills, goods, and institutional experiments available to a society. Commercial exchange links producers to larger markets and encourages specialization. Migration brings knowledge that local communities may not have generated on their own. Intellectual exchange allows discoveries from one culture to be tested, adapted, and extended elsewhere. This helps explain why cities, ports, republics, and empires that tolerated difference often became unusually creative. The book connects this pattern across distinct examples. From Baghdad as a meeting place for Greek, Persian, Indian, and Arab learning to the Dutch Republic as a haven for merchants, printers, and dissenters. Norberg does not suggest that openness eliminates conflict or guarantees wisdom. His argument is more limited and concrete: societies that shut out foreigners, suppress dissent, or restrict exchange reduce the sources of renewal that allow complex economies and cultures to keep improving. Thirdly, free institutions and incentives shape whether talent becomes social achievement. Peak Human follows a tradition of historical explanation that looks beyond individual genius and asks whether institutions reward useful action. Norberg is interested in why similar human capacities produce very different outcomes under different political and economic arrangements. A society may have intelligent people, skilled artisans, ambitious traders, and curious scholars, but those abilities matter most when rules protect property, allow debate, permit enterprise, and limit arbitrary power. The Roman Republic, Renaissance Italian city-states, and Song China are treated as settings where political structures, administrative capacity, markets, or urban networks help turn human energy into visible achievement. This does not mean that any one institutional formula explains all cases. The examples differ greatly, and Norberg avoids reducing history to a single constitutional model. The common point is that incentives can either channel ambition into innovation and exchange, or into rent-seeking, conquest, censorship, and factional advantage. This focus makes the book more analytical than a survey of great civilizations. It asks how societies organize cooperation, competition, and trust at scale. Fourthly, decline comes from internal fracturing as much as from external pressure. The book treats the end of golden ages as a problem of vulnerability rather than simple collapse. Norberg recognizes external threats such as war, invasion, geopolitical competition, and shifting trade routes, but he gives equal attention to internal weakening. Prosperous societies can become divided by faction, burdened by privilege, or tempted to protect established interests against newcomers. Institutions that once encouraged experimentation may harden into mechanisms for exclusion. Political actors may prioritize control over adaptability, while cultural confidence may turn into suspicion of outsiders. This framework helps explain why the loss of openness is so dangerous in Norbert's analysis. Closure is not just a policy change. It alters incentives, narrows debate, and makes societies less able to respond to shocks. The book does not claim that every civilization falls for the same reason, and it avoids a fully deterministic theory of decline. Its more cautious lesson is that external pressure becomes more damaging when internal trust, institutional legitimacy, and capacity for renewal have already been weakened. Lastly, modern prosperity depends on preserving the conditions that made it possible. Although peak human is built around historical cases, its recurring concern is the present. Norberg includes the modern Anglosphere among the Golden Ages, not as a declaration that the present is flawless, but as recognition of the extraordinary expansion of wealth. Science, literacy, health, and individual choice associated with open institutions and global exchange. This contemporary framing gives the book its policy relevance. Norberg warns that the benefits of modernity can become invisible to those who inherit them, making it easier to attack the very mechanisms that produce them. Protectionism, hostility to immigration, distrust of markets, political polarization, and contempt for liberal norms are treated as risks because they weaken the feedback systems through which societies learn and adapt. The argument is not that the modern world should copy Athens, Baghdad, or Amsterdam. Rather, historical comparison shows that progress depends on continuous renewal. If open societies become complacent or defensive, they may repeat older patterns in which prosperity creates interests and anxieties that undermine future prosperity. In conclusion, Peak Human is well suited to readers who want broad historical interpretation rather than narrow specialist monographs. It will appeal to people interested in world history, economics, political institutions, globalization, and the long-term causes of innovation. Its practical benefit is that it translates historical comparison into a framework for thinking about current choices, whether societies reward openness or exclusion, experimentation or protection, institutional integrity or factional capture. Its intellectual benefit lies in showing that cultural achievement and economic progress are not isolated miracles. They emerge from conditions that can be studied, compared, and sometimes preserved. Compared with many rise and fall books, Peak Human stands out because it is less fatalistic. It does not present decline as an inevitable civilizational life cycle, nor does it reduce history to moral decay or material determinism. Norberg instead emphasizes incentives, exchange, tolerance, and institutional adaptability across a wide range of cases. The result is a concise but ambitious synthesis that connects ancient republics, medieval scholarship, early modern commerce, and the modern liberal order. Readers looking for exhaustive detail on each civilization may need supplementary works, but those seeking a clear comparative argument about why human flourishing happens and why it can be lost will find the book especially useful. If you would like to support Johan Norberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.